due to QGM, Center for Quantum Geometry of Modulized Spaces. I'm the director of the center here, and we have a series of master classes. Try to have 3 to 4 a year of people in the field who are absolute experts in their particular subject. And this is certainly also true today and here for this master class. So I think it's 23 years ago since Thor and I met. I think it was in Trieste first time.
Yeah, I agree it was in Trieste. Now, it's above my ability to count, so fine.
Okay. You were a student.
About 1990.
In Oxford?
Yes, yeah, about 1990,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we've known each other since then and had a lot of fun. Paul has visited Aarhus a number of times. We're very fortunate with that. And now it's really great that you are willing to give us a 2-week course on this tensor product of everything cross everything.
But, no, it's just a Cartesian product. Sorry.
Right, okay. But the title officially is UVW NOS. Cartesian product with topology, combinatorics, low and high algebra. So, Dror, it's a true pleasure to have you here give a masterclass. So, thank you for doing this, and
you're welcome
to it.
Okay. So, first of all, I think I want to start with a very, very brief overview and explain sort of the table, okay, the 4x4 table, 3x4 table, which is actually a bit bigger, but I mean, at least I'll explain 3x4 of it. And that will be quite vague, and it's sort of an introduction to the whole series, okay? This done, I will go completely concrete, and I will describe the theory of finite type invariants as it was understood essentially 23 years ago. Okay, so essentially I will be talking about these three boxes in great detail for most of the time today, but first an overall introduction. So the scheme is the same repeatedly, and it repeats for various in several different circumstances. So I will start from topology, and what I mean by topology is some type of knot theory, or so either usual knotted objects or V knotted objects or W knotted objects. You'll see what that means. And when I say knotted objects, I mean knots in the most generalized sense. So maybe it will be knots, maybe it will be links, maybe it will be braids, maybe it will be tangles, maybe it will be knotted graphs. Okay, so various classes of knotted objects. But in all cases, I will start with something in topology. But the thing in topology will be a thing in topology that carries an algebraic structure. So, for example, it could be the braid group. So, the group of all pictures that look like, you go down, or, the group of all pictures that look like that under composition. Okay, so these are topological things, but they carry algebraic structure. Or else, it could be the planar algebra of tangles, or the category of parenthesized tangles, or the TG set of knotted trivalent graphs, whatever that is. Okay, so it will always be an algebraic structure whose elements are topological things. Then, on such things, there is a functor called grrr. Okay? So it's the associated graded function. I think usually the last two R's are omitted. And in fact, I often like to write it proj, because gr sounds too funny. Okay? And this functor, so very, very vaguely, here's what this functor does. So the topological things are often filtered by complexity. So you can speak about things of complexity 5, and they are less complex than things of complexity 6. Okay? But of course I will have to be precise about how I filter by complexity, what I mean by that. Okay? And basically, and then it makes sense to say, on day one, let us study things of complexity 1, ignoring things that are too complex for us on day one, so ignoring things that are of complexity 2. Okay? Then on day 2, we will study things of complexity 2. We don't need to study things of complexity 1 anymore because we've already studied them in day 1. Right? So on day 2, we will study things of complexity 2, ignoring complexity 3. On day 3, we will study things of complexity 3, ignoring things of complexity 4, and so on. So, this functor gr takes an algebraic structure to its associated graded, which is this direct sum of what you study in the different days. So it's the direct sum of complexity n modulo complexity n plus 1. Okay? As it turns out, when you look at complexity n modulo complexity n plus 1, for all of these topological things that we will start with, you get combinatorics. Each time it will be different combinatorics, but it will always be some sort of combinatorics, and the combinatorics will be, so if we were starting from braids, they will turn into sort of ladder diagrams with a fixed number of rungs, of steps on the ladder. Okay, modulo some relations, but the number of rungs, of steps on the ladder will be equal to the day of study. So it's some fixed bounded number. Okay, or if we're talking about knots, it will be so-called chord diagrams. Again, modulo some relations. Okay, but at each day, so at each degree, there will only be finitely many such chord diagrams and finitely many such relations. So in principle, it's a finite study. And that finite study is in principle simpler than the study of topology. It's a study of combinatorics. Okay? Then there will be a miracle. Okay? And the miracle is the following. And in fact, the miracle is, I think, what makes the whole theory, the whole subject interesting. So the miracle is that these diagrams also represents formulas that make sense in Lie theory. So let me explain. So a formula is often a diagram. So in fact, you know, when you write something like cosine squared of x plus sine squared of x, it's a graph, right? It's a graph whose top node is plus, and in fact my computer stores such things with as a tree, okay? But so it's a graph whose top node is plus, whose when you go to the left, you see power. When you go to the right from the power, you see 2. When you go to the left from the power, you see cosine, and below it, you see x. And on the right, you will see again power, and 2, and sine, and x. Okay? So basically, formulas are represented by graphs. And in fact, well, you know, surely you know that this formula is a formula for the constant 1. So, in fact, I mean, different graphs may represent the same value. Okay? It will be different formulas, but they represent the same number. So, in fact, sort of algebra, in some sense, is graphs modulo relations, where the relations are a graph of a certain type is equal to some other graph of a similar kind. Well, in this case, this complicated graph is equal to a very simple graph representing the constant one. Okay? Now, as it turns out, and this is the miracle, the graphs that will occur when we gr topology will be graphs that represent formulas that occur in Lie theory, and when you look at the relations that occur here, they precisely correspond to relations that hold in Lie theory, so the Jacobi identity and similar relations. Now, which part of Lie theory it is will depend on which topology we start from. So sometimes it will be finite dimensional Lie algebras. Sometimes it will be finite dimensional metrized Lie algebras. Sometimes it will be Lie bialgebras, whatever. Various parts of Lie theory. Okay? Anyway, the map which maps diagrams to Lie theory is what I will call low algebra. So essentially this interpretation map where you interpret a graph as representing a formula is what I will call low algebra, and as I mentioned, it's a miracle. The fact that it's there is just a lucky coincidence. Okay? And the reason I call it low algebra is because there is also high algebra. So what's high algebra? Well, I mentioned that there is this functor gr that turns topology into combinatorics. But it's not a function. It's not a map. Okay? What it is it takes an algebraic space of things here, so an algebraic structure of things here, and creates an algebraic structure of things here. The two algebraic structures have similar operations, but they don't come with a morphism from one to the other. Okay? So the next challenge is to actually construct a morphism going from here to here. Okay, to actually construct a function going from topology to the combinatorics that looks like it. Okay? So such a function I will almost always call Z, and it's often called an expansion or a universal finite type invariant. But anyway, the construction of Z will be what I will call high algebra. So why high algebra? So one reason is that it's often higher than algebra. So often in order to do it, you need analysis or quantum field theory, or you need stuff that comes from outside. But when it reduces to algebra, it is high algebra. Meaning, so in general, how do you construct a map from one, well, let's say group? Okay, it could be a category, a planar algebra, whatever. But how do you construct a map from one group to another? It's enough if the group is finitely generated, or in fact finitely presented, and in fact all of the structures I will care about will be finitely presented. So you will be able to say, well, the braid group is generated by basic braids, modular relations that look like the Rademeister moves. Tangles are generated by the basic tangles, again, modulo Rademeister moves. The other things I will study will also be generated by basic things, modulo basic relations, simple relations. Anyway, if you want to construct a map from something finitely presented into anything, it's enough to define, if you want this map to be homomorphism, if you want it to respect the group structure or the planar algebra structure or whatever it is, it's enough to define it on the generators. So to construct Z, it's enough to find finitely many values of things, and these finitely many values have to satisfy finitely many relations, meaning relations of the general kind of the Rademeister 3 move, but you know, in different situations there will be different relations. As it turns out, in practice, in the cases that I will study, solving these relations will be, or solving for the values of the generator so that the relations are satisfied, will be high algebra questions, will be challenging questions in algebra. So it will be solving for associators or for solving for other series that satisfy complicated algebraic relations. And furthermore, once you take these complicated algebraic relations from combinatorics to Lie theory, you will be solving for complicated problems in Lie theory. End of the scheme. That's is it clear? Is it? So basically, that's where I'm heading. My purpose is, at the end of the 2 weeks, you will understand this picture. Okay. Now, so part B of the... Oh, wait. Sorry. I'm supposed to take pictures of every blackboard I cover, right? So do remind me if I forget. Anyway... Here's the first. Okay. Now let me be more specific. So I will mostly study three universes of knotted objects: the usual knotted objects, the virtual knotted objects, and the welded or weakly virtual or warm-up knotted objects. I mean warm-up because they're warm-up for VKO and for virtual. And let me say a word about each one. Okay, so for the usual knotted objects, these are just the usual knotted objects. So it will be either braids or knots. I told you I can draw only one knot, but even that one I don't always get it right. So, or knots, or tangles, or knotted trivalent graphs. So, I guess take a knot, but add a couple of vertices, and now it's a knotted trivalent graph. Or similar things. Okay? The combinatorics corresponding to it will be the combinatorics of diagrams that, well, are often called core diagrams, and they have often a skeleton. The skeleton in this case is a circle, and inside it some chords. Modulus some relations, often called, I guess the nicest of those is the so-called IHX relation. I is equal to H minus X, and it's called that way because it looks that way. Okay? The low algebra corresponding to it, well, if you look at these diagrams, it turns out that they represent things related, again, to Lie algebra. This becomes the Jacobi identity, and the low algebra corresponding to it will be the theory of metrized finite dimensional Lie algebras. So Lie algebras that have a metric, okay, that have a bilinear non-degenerate symmetric inner product defined on them. In particular, this includes all semi-simple Lie algebras. It's a little more than all semi-simple Lie algebras, but in particular, it includes the standard Lie algebras that you kind of GLN, SLN, AN, BN, CN, DN, G, E, F. Okay? E, F, G, sorry. And the high algebra corresponding to it will be the theory of Drinfeld associators, which, originally came up in category theory, within the study of category theory, but I think they're still mysterious objects. I think sort of they seem to be, what should I call it? You know, one of those toys. If you were ever able to truly hold a Dreamfield associator, not just prove that it exists, but compute it to all order, fully have a formula for it, you will make an extremely large group of people happy, because many, many parts of high algebra, of current modern of things in high algebra now, depend on Dreamfield associators. Many problems involving quantization somehow depend on associators. Okay? And I should add that I wrote the table as if it is 3 by 4, but there is actually more, because for each of these columns there will also be or potentially be some sort of topological quantum field theory, and in the case of this column, it's essentially the Chern-Simons theory. And there will be other repeating patterns. Maybe I will talk about the other things when they come. Okay, if they come, but this is the main thing. Okay, what are W knots? So W knots are, I wish I had brought my gadgets with me, but I didn't. So W knots are two-dimensional knots in R4. Okay? So how do you visualize a two-dimensional knot in R4? Well, one way to do it is to slice R4 at different values of t. So at at any value of t, you get an R3, and the knot, which was two-dimensional, when sliced to R3, will become a one-dimensional object. So in the most simple-minded case, that one-dimensional object will be a circle, okay? And when you let time move, you'll have sort of circles that are moving around in R3 and interacting, okay? So what do circles that move around in R3 look like? So I guess here is one. And I should find another one somewhere. I don't know. Jorn? Thank you very much.
You want it closed right away?
I want it closed, yes.
Okay.
So, you know, if you have two circles in R3, and I'm looking at movies of circles, so I'm looking at motions, well, there are three ways they can trade places. So they can trade places like that, externally, or in fact, well, they could trade places externally the other way, but topologically it's the same, because you can interpolate between this exchange and that exchange by going above, okay? So in fact, this is sort of contrary to braids. So braids are movies of points in the plane, right? And when you move two points, when you want to swap two points in the plane, you can either do it above or, well, in either one goes above the other or the other way around. And these are the two types of crossings that you will see in a braid. Okay, but one dimension up, these two crossings are the same. However, there are two other ways that two rings can trade places. Well, one can fly through the other, either the Barnatan can fly through the Andersen, or the Anderson ring. So it can fly through the Barnatan ring, okay? And these would be, well, these two things do not exist in the theory of ordinary braids, but they do exist in the theory of W braids, and they are distinct. Okay? So, thank you. So, W knotted objects are about rings trading places. I'm not sure this is the best picture, but I think you sort of see what it is about, more or less. And, well, this is sort of the analog of braid theory. There is also an analog of knot theory, of tangle theory, of knotted graphs, etc. So there is a whole theory of W knotted objects. The corresponding diagrammatic theory is, well, more or less the same, except that the chords that were here end up having arrows on top of them. And having an arrow means that you can distinguish between G and G dual, that there is a distinction between a vector space and its dual, so you no longer need a metric. Not having an arrow means that you will need a metric in order to identify a space with its dual, because you cannot decide on which side to put a vector space and on which side of a line to put its dual. So you have to identify the vector space with its dual. Having arrows will mean that you don't need a metric. So so the corresponding low algebra will be the theory of finite dimensional Lie algebras, period, without needing a metric. Okay? The corresponding high algebra, so in order to find invariants of things like this with values in things like this, you will need to solve for some special elements, and these special elements turn out to be related to the Kashiwara, or these elements we need to solve the so-called Kashiwara-Vern equations, or the Alexeyev-Torossian version of the Kashiwara-Vern equations, which arose originally in Lie theory without any understanding, any guess whatsoever that they would be related to topology. Okay, so the Kashiwara-Vern equations are somehow arose when people were trying to prove, when Kashiwara and Vern were trying to prove something about convolutions on Lie algebras and Lie groups. Okay? So this column was pretty much well understood 20 years ago. This column I more or less well understand now, though the process of writing it up is not finished yet, and the overall picture is beautiful and easy, but the amount of conventions, the number of conventions that one has to fix and fix right, is daunting. I mean, so I'm writing it right now with my former student, Zhujana Dancho, and we're nearly done, but believe me, it was sort of the technical part of it was extremely difficult, or still is extremely difficult, just deciding what exactly are the correct conventions. Anyway, the middle column is the most mysterious. So the middle column is about virtual knots. Virtual knots I more or less introduced yesterday, except none of you was here were here because it wasn't even the master class yet. But anyway, virtual knots are knots in which you also allow virtual crossings, so crossing whose sense is not determined, and you mod out by a collection of relations that look more or less like Rider-Meister moves, but you have to also worry about what to do about these virtual crossings. Okay? And alternatively, virtual knots can be interpreted as knots drawn on a surface. So you take a surface and draw a knot on top of it. I don't know, sorry, I mean... Basically, you draw a knot on a surface. Modulo, that sort of you can add or remove parts of the surface that do not play with the knot. So you can take this surface and add to it a handle, so long as it doesn't, or remove such an handle, so long as the knot doesn't touch it. Okay? So it's some strange algebraic construct. And I would think little of it if it wasn't for two things. First of all, there is a map from ordinary knots into virtual knots, and it's an embedding. And secondly, there is a projection for virtual knots into W knots. So virtual knots somehow occupy a spot in the middle between U and W. So that was one thing. And the second thing is that they have interesting combinatorics, the remaining of the table works for virtual knots as well. Okay? So the combinatorics will be essentially the same combinatorics as for W knots. Well, sorry, superficially the same combinatorics as W knots. So the same diagrams, but here you have one set of relations, and here you have a different set of relations. And it turns out that these relations describe so-called Lie algebras, formulas that can be written in Lie algebras. Now, the hard problem about Lie algebras is the so-called, it's the problem that Drinfeld posed and Ettinghoff and Kashdan solved, and it's the so-called quantization of Lie algebras. So the high algebra corresponding should be the Ettinghoff-Kashdan quantization of the above, of Lie by algebras. I have to say that this is the least developed column. So the evidence that these things are related is very, very strong. Okay, I mean, I can tell you more about these relations. I can tell you why they describe Lie algebras. I can more or less say how it's related to this Ettinghoff-Kashdan quantization. But the details are missing. So basically, when you guys go home, you have work to do. Okay? So the subject is not yet sort of dead, is what I'm trying to say. Okay?
Just a question about the objects.
Yeah.
Are they embedded curves on surfaces?
Yeah. No, not embedded. I mean, sort of knots drawn on a surface. So if you want to think of it as embeddings, it's embeddings in a surface cross a very, very small interval. Yeah. So thicken the surface a little bit and then draw, and then embed a knot inside it.
Knots in surface cross I.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. So I said that there is a quantum field theory for each one. The quantum field theory here is Chern-Simons. The quantum field theory here is so-called BF theory. The quantum field theory here is unknown. Okay? And also, the table has more columns, potentially. So what I mean by that is that there are other parts of mathematics in which you seem to have the combinatorics, the low algebra, and the high algebra. But I still don't know what the topology is, if there is a topology. Okay? So there is the Kontsievich theory of quantization of Poisson manifolds. If you look at the Kontsievich quantization of Poisson manifolds, you find that it has something here, it has something here, it has something here. I think it even has something here, but I don't know what it is here. Okay? So I think, again, the moral is when you go back home, you still have homework. Okay? finally, when Alexeyev and Torossian study Kashiwara-Verne equations, they end up solving them using associators coming from here. When Ettinghoff and Kashdan study quantization of Libye algebra, they also end up producing a quantization using associators. In fact, there are even constructions of quantizations of Poisson manifolds that use associators. Okay? And the topological explanation of this ought to be that there are maps between these universes. Okay? And in fact, there is certainly a map from ordinary knotted objects to W knotted objects. And this map I will certainly describe. Okay? And this map induces the expected relationship between associators and Kashiwara-Verne equations. Okay? So I'm trying to tell you that it's not just a bunch of unrelated columns in which look the same but are otherwise unrelated. There are in fact maps between them. Okay? And again, I can't claim to understand everything. Okay? Are you still with me? Are you okay?
How do we motivate a study of virtual knots or even welded knots? You know, the usual knots you can explain by tying a string, but...
Well, so I think I've just answered. So, okay, for welded knots, you can motivate it by saying that you're studying two-dimensional topology in R4. For virtual knots, the main thing I can say about them is that the motivation is that they lead to interesting algebra. To me, that's the motivation. Okay? They give you the language within which you can talk about algebra. Okay?
What kind of objects are those in high... So Drenfeld associators are a formal series.
Yeah.
In, say, some formal variable. What about these other two things? Are they all...
Likewise, certain formal series in certain things which are different. But again, you know, that was the 1 hour, or less than 1 hour, I don't know how long I've spoken, but that was the 40 minutes introduction to what is supposed to take 9 days. So it's a sketch. It's my job now to put tofu into the sketch, okay? To make it more substantial, okay? Are you... Okay, so I think I'll again take some pictures, and then forget all the big things and talk just about the first three the first three boxes here. It will take a long time to get through everything, and I will not get through everything because some things I don't really understand. Okay?
Could I ask another question?
Sure.
So virtual knots, you study virtual knots because you get interesting algebras and they're more complicated. So would you be able to make some conclusion about something basic by some statements of this more complicated object?
Potentially, yes. If you look at the way I've structured the lecture series, okay, there are like 6 introductions. So today was one of the introductions. I don't remember on what day I am planning to do an introduction which will come from the perspective of algebraic knot theory. I will mention what it should be in that lecture, and then potentially it will tell you problems in topology that this kind of study might solve. Okay? So give me a chance, you know, it's still 9 days to go. Okay, so forget all the big things, and I will tell you about various small things that I knew 20 years ago, definitely. Okay, so everything that I will say now was known 20 years ago. Okay.
Normally we have 45 minutes and then a break of half an hour, then 45 minutes again.
Okay, let's take a break.
Does it seem useful here?
Absolutely.
All right.
Okay, so we're done for that, and I'll start with low stuff in half an hour.